Welcome to Federal Insights, sponsored by Canon. Here's today's moderator, Tom Temin.
The Tennessee Valley Authority possesses tons of documents dating from its Depression-era founding. Today it lives in both digital and analog worlds, and it has a careful strategy for dealing with everything from hand-drawn maps to modern textual records. I got the rundown from the TVA's Senior Manager of Enterprise Records, Rebecca Coffey.
Over about the last 5 years, we've consistently generated around 5 million electronic records a year. So that's just under about 10 terabytes of records. Now, overall, on any given day, we manage around 200 million temporary and permanent records that are in various stages of the records management lifecycle. Of course, as I'm sure you know, we have efforts underway to digitize paper holdings. And so that digitization work does impact the numbers that we're dealing with here over the past few years. But as a general rule, how we manage it at TVA is we obviously have some great partners out there in the enterprise who are creating their records, but we do have a centralized records management team that I lead. And so we help provide the day-to-day federal records lifecycle management, oversight, guidance, the tools that they need, the training that they need, but we have great partners out there in the enterprise.
And just briefly run through the difference between temporary and permanent, because they sort of overlap a little bit sometimes.
They do. Sometimes temporary records can feel permanent. So as a federal agency, we have to schedule our records. So it doesn't matter to about whether I think the record should stay how long, or you think it, or anyone in the business. It's all about the actual schedule. So an agency will prepare a proposed schedule, send it to their designated archivist. Once we get sort of an informal nod that this looks good, it aligns with other agencies, then those schedules get published in the Federal Register, and the public and other federal agencies have a chance to comment on them. That allows us to make sure we've got a fair and transparent process, and to make sure that our stakeholders who may need those records, actually know when we're going to be dispositioning them. So when they go to NARA for the final approval, they will decide the time frame. If the records have a significant value, historical value, whether they are telling the story of TVA or the impact in the national story, the federal records will become permanent, which means that at a designated time, they will get sent to NARA. We will turn over ownership of those records to the National Archives. Now, temporary records are the bulk of records of most agencies. Probably 95% of records are temporary. So their retention is tied a little more closely to the business need. We have a little more say-so in how we use them, why we need them for a certain period of time. But again, the public gets to comment. And so temporary schedules can be as short as a day. It could be 6 months, it could be 35 years, or it could be life of plant or life of agency. And those are the ones that feel pretty darn permanent. But at that time, all of those records will always stay owned by the Tennessee Valley Authority.
Interesting. So they stay local, so to speak.
Yes, we control those.
And give us a sense of the nature of the records themselves. Every agency has, you know, billions of pieces of paper that are office paper. They used to be typed on. Now they're word processed on and printed out in printers. But you also have an operational end of power plants and dams and all kinds of technical infrastructure that must also generate records.
Absolutely. So when you think of records back in the day when they were paper, it truly was reports, you know, things you could type on a piece of paper or now word process. But now records come in a variety of formats. Text messages can be records. Emails can be records. Those instant message chats you have on collaborative platforms can be records. So if I were thinking about just those modern textual records, you know, probably 70% of what we generate is going to be that black and white, maybe a little color thrown in, but those hard copy records that we're all used to seeing that now are either born digital or they've been scanned into a digital record. The other, I would say 30%, we call our mixed media records. So those can be a variety of things. They can be maps, photographs, they could be data streams that are a little bit more unstructured that we put into a structure to capture it, like when we monitor the levels of our rivers, We don't necessarily go out there and type up a report that says, here are the flows, although we certainly have those. But sometimes we just have some of those Excel spreadsheets that show different chartings. Mm-hmm. And so with all of those, we have to obviously have different plans for how we're going to manage those records. And it changes every year. With new technology comes new formats. I know the big buzz right now has to do with how we do modeling. So a model can be captured as a snapshot in time into a 2D format. But if we're really trying to make it usable and have all the required information to be meaningful, we really need to be able to capture the technology that has a 3D model to put it in perspective. So lots of challenges with different formatting.
And you could see where, say, a 3D model of a structure or, you know, a turbine sluice way or something, I'm getting out of my technical range here, but, you know, power generation types of blueprints, for example, you could see where that could be a tough decision. Is this life of agency or, you know, does somebody else operate a dam somewhere and therefore this could be a public record of interest to someone beyond the Tennessee Valley Authority somewhere down the line?
Certainly. But the good news is with the system we have set up with the National Archives, we don't ever have to wonder. That's why we have these schedules. And so for that particular example, I can tell you that as long as TVA owns and operates it, those records are going to be temporary here. But we do have requirements. If we were to turn over it to another agency or even sell it to a member of the public, we would actually transfer those records because of the value they would have to their operation.
Right. So even if the schedule says it's only life of agency, you could opt to say, well, we think this has value beyond even what the schedule requires, and almost voluntarily say, let's make it permanent and move it over to the, you know, Arkansas Valley Authority. I'm making that up.
Well, right. And we can make those transfers. And we do have places where that happens sometimes, where we see the public or another place has a greater need for it. And so we will go back in and request an amendment to our schedule and the approval to transfer that ownership.
All right. And let's talk about those born digital or scanned documents. Even born digital as a record, they exist as a printout for the most part. Fair to say?
Not in today's world. So that is definitely where we are coming from. And so as some of you out there probably know, we have new initiatives that came out from OMB and NARA. This came out of the Obama administration where we were doing an overhaul of records management across all the agencies. So we've been operating under a series of directives that are moving the government toward operating exclusively as much as possible in that electronic record world. And so here at TVA, we've been trying to make sure that we have our paper records digitized and that we're using them in that sense. And so while there are some places where we will always have paper records, our goal is to eliminate that as much as possible. A couple of good examples here is our people in the plants. You know, we don't, at today's world anyway, have iPads on the sides of all of our machines where they could easily retrieve information about a process or a procedure. And so for safety concerns and good operational practices, they may have to have a piece of paper in their hand before they perform an action. Another place with TVA is out in the field. We have transmission workers out there on all of our poles, especially this week where we've had so much bad weather. We'd want to make sure that they have the right information, the most accurate information in hand, because they may not have electricity or they may not have internet service. So we will always have those exceptions to the rule. But for the most part, we have made a great transition into that digital space. And even our facility team is supporting us in eliminating those paper file cabinets and records rooms.
In other words, they, in general, and to the best of your ability, never do get printed form, but simply exist from an online server served up at the point of need through a device.
Absolutely. And this is a great place to mention, you know, I would love to say my team led this effort and we made this great transformation, but we couldn't have done it without the rest of TVA. And we capitalized on an emergency. So with COVID, as you, I'm sure, know, a lot of people had to go home to telework. We had to be apart from each other. And it really allowed our workforce to see the need for electronic records that were accessible from anywhere. And so we were able to move our initiative forward just because our workforce changed and they saw the value in it. And then when they did come back into the office, they saw all this paper that they've lived without for several years. So it certainly got us some great buy-in and support to make this transformation.
And to transfer those records, well, to preserve them, you just simply keep them on your servers if they're temporary. Are any of those records to be moved to NARA at some point?
Yes, absolutely. We have a lot of those records. And so in the schedules, it also sort of tells you when to transfer them. So we don't have anything eligible for transfer right now, but we do have the option to offer them up early. And so, especially in our digitization projects, we are making some of those early offerings. They are going to be permanent, but we may still need them here at TVA. So they haven't quite met retention for us to completely divest ourselves of those. When they're digital, it makes it a whole lot easier to have a copy with NARA and a copy with us. And we've got a lot of great projects underway for that.
Right. Agencies are getting to the point where the last of the things that might not have been born digital are now on schedule to be transferred.
Yes, that's correct. And so, you know, we've got great partners with the National Archives, and they have, there's a deadline coming up that everyone gets really anxious about. I'm sure you know about it, but here at the end of June, we're going to have a deadline that at that point, all agencies should be managing temporary and permanent records electronically. And with that, there will still be a series of transfers to the archives. They don't all happen at once because a lot of records don't become available and eligible for transfer. But with that initiative, it has allowed us to all move things forward. NARA has a very realistic view of that. And so when we think about exceptions to the rule, we are able to say, you know, we don't need an exception because our plan is to get them digitized. But when we have these things that come out, obviously they don't come out with money along with it or with resources. And so our goal over the past 5 years has really been to come up with the strategy of how we're going to get there. And NARA is not focused so much on have you digitized everything by this deadline as much as it is what is your plan? Because obviously across the federal agencies, we don't all have the resources to be able to implement it immediately. But I think at TVA, we had already made a transition to electronic records. So at the point that these directives came out, we were already creating records electronically. So for our group, the lift was really in going back to the old paper records that needed to be brought forward and then making sure that we weren't storing them electronically, but still printing that working copy.
Rebecca Coffey, Senior Manager of Enterprise Records at the Tennessee Valley Authority. We'll return with more of the interview after this short break. I'm Tom Temin.
Tens of millions of tickets.
Tens of millions of tickets.
Tens of millions of tickets.
Thank you, VetTix. Thank you.
Thank you, FirstTix.
Thank you, VetTix and FirstTix.
Thanks to your support, the nonprofits VetTix and FirstTix have given away tens of millions of tickets and counting to vets currently serving military, the immediate family of troops killed in action, and our brave, current, and former first responders. These tickets are a meaningful way to say thank you to America's heroes and help them re-engage with American life by giving them free, fun experiences and new happy memories that'll last a lifetime. And now, we want you to be part of the mission. Got extra tickets to concerts, games, or special events? Or want to see if you qualify? We want you to go to vettix.org and firsttix.org today. Give something to those who gave.
Welcome back to our interview with Rebecca Coffey, Senior Manager of Enterprise Records at the Tennessee Valley Authority. Our topic is how to preserve and archive various types of documents, including modern textual records. Now, there are records that exist as created analog, yet they're still what might be called a modern textual record because somebody typed something on a piece of paper at some point, or maybe it was done with word processing that's obsolete, and so really all you have is a usable record, retrievable record, is the paper. What's your digitizing plan for those to transfer?
So with those, they mostly are at a little bit of a lower standard because they don't have a lot of bells and whistles that you have to make sure you've captured. And so there have always been some good best practices out there, ISO standards about the right resolution, the right grayscale, black scale, all of that. And so TVA has always focused on what the current technology is and what the current standards are. So for an example, when we have some of our outage workers come in, they still are having to create those analog papers, fill things out to get on site. And then they are scanned. And so we make sure that those scans are set to a certain DPI setting. We make sure that, you know, we have the right quality control in place. And then in our content management system, while we do have people put everything in their native file formats, so you might have spreadsheets, text documents, photographs, whatever you have, and then we render those to a PDF-A format. And that locks down the records. It pushes it over to a published side of our system. The published side also has a lot of access controls, so people can't change anything about those records. The other thing that we deploy, and it's really been very helpful, it's something we've gotten a little smarter about, is a risk management-based decision. So you have to think about how you're using these records, and that helps you determine the standards that you need to set. Not just standards in how great are the scans, but mostly in quality control, how many checks you are doing. So if we have records that are related to our nuclear plants, which are long-term assets, they feel like they're permanent, we want to make certain that those are places that we've got one-for-one checks going out there, because not only of the value of the records and the importance of them, but because they have to be sustainable for so long. Whereas if we had a record that was more of an informational type of record that we only need until we no longer need it, or we only need it for a few years, those are ones that statistically we might not have to have such a high level of sampling. We have to think about, well, what if something went wrong, and do that risk analysis. And that really helps to guide our decisions, prioritize the work we're doing, and also allocate those resources that are pretty scarce.
And the other issue, it seems, is that with this modern textual record, agencies are also at a point to which they can make the information on analog created or older types of documents available anywhere through digitizing, through the application of metadata, optical character recognition, these types of things. So you have an image of it, but you also have metadata to find that image of it. And there's also the paper, but the paper no longer has to be invoked if someone wants to look at it. And they're in California, and it's in a vault somewhere, wherever NARA has its vaults.
Absolutely. Metadata is everything. And it's had a pretty big evolution as to what types of things you put in metadata. The best example I can give you is back in the paper world. If you had a room and you had 100 boxes in it, and on the outside of the box, it all said, these are travel records. And you get an audit and you've got to go find that travel record. If you didn't have sort of an index to those boxes, you wouldn't have a clue where to go search for that particular person's travel record. Think of the hours you would put in searching it. It's the same thing in the electronic world. If you haven't made some metadata entries to be able to help you locate that, you could be in a content area folder or repository, a library with all these records, but you have no way to search them. And the value of the record goes down to zero if you can't search and retrieve it. So with the establishment of our records management system, we put a lot of work into defining indexing specifications. So we work not only with NARA about what's required, but we work with the business to find out how they use the information to determine what are the right fields to make required for metadata. Now, when you first start this out, everybody's going to think of everything you could possibly search on. So you also have to push back and say, okay, but you know, we do have full text search capabilities, so let's limit the metadata to really how you're going to use it, because too much metadata can be a bad thing as well. And so that has allowed us to be able to preserve these records, but to also make them easily searchable and retrievable. I want to share one example with a mixed media kind of record that we have that I'm really proud of the work our TVA team's doing. And this has to do with some of our cultural resource records, our mapping and aerial photographs. So we have a collection that goes back 100 years. And obviously, those are not going to be the easiest things to digitize. We have in our project, we are processing over a million frames of film and about 300,000 hard copy maps. And what the team has done is they've thought about not just how we use them today, but how we could possibly use them for the future. So when they think about what is the right output, what is the right resolution, that is huge, as well as what metadata and indexing points we can do. So they have actually taken these and they've put them into raster images as opposed to vector images. I got a little tutorial on that that I want to share. If you think about the old etch and sketch, well, that's what a vector image looks like. It is a bunch of lines and geometric shapes. But if you think about a Lightbright game that we all used to have, you're actually putting a pin in every pixel, and that makes them more usable for the future. So as they have been putting those in, we had a discussion about artificial intelligence, which is really big in the government these days. And think about how cool it would be if you could put all these aerial photographs in and apply some AI who could search on all of the geocaching metadata, where we can like push a button and say, here's a location. I want to see everything you have for this location. It could run some analysis of that and create a story about the impact to tree canopy along the Tennessee Valley.
Sure.
That would be huge. And it's something that would take us years, but artificial intelligence could use the metadata we've captured to do it in 10 minutes, probably.
All right. Well, that's fascinating stuff. And you do have these various formats. Just getting back to the technical approach, do you do your own scanning? Do you send them out to a contractor to scan? I mean, how do you get it done physically?
A little bit of everything. So for that one project, we have a great industry partner that really helps to manage that project. But for just what I would call just day-to-day, you know, hard copy record scanning, we have an in-house group that does a little bit of, but we also partner with a lot of vendors out there and the National Archives with GSA to be able to create a list of vendors that have read the digitization standards and have come back and said, hey, we can meet these. And so they've provided us with a little guidance of like, who has those capabilities?
Got it. And so another question then relates to, if you have a vendor's piece of equipment that can do that, can you scan it and otherwise prepare it for eventual retention at the time it's created, rather than have some kind of a bulk process 30 years later?
So definitely. And again, a lot of that has to do with, we need to be creating the records. They need to all be born digitally from here on out. And that is our goal. But even as we have some that are not, and we're having to scan them, as long as we are getting them into our official repository, there is that in the input process, that's where you capture the metadata. So the system is designed that at the time it goes in, you've got to follow the naming schematics. You've got to create all of that. Now, it isn't all manual, though. There are some places where people manually publish things. With technology, we've been able to use system integrations so that the systems talk to each other. So we will have indexing specs over here, and then the system that the records are born in, it knows, hey, you've got to capture that same stuff, so we can make a transfer and they map and sync up. And as you're saying here, you know, it's better to have it done at the time of record creation because it's being done by the person who knows the most information. And so that is really the standard that we're following here. Doesn't quite happen on some of our paper records we're digitizing because those people are long gone, but we are making sure that we don't just create a copy and there's no automated metadata coming over.
So it sounds like eventually the scanning of the historic and the analog created, that has a built-in sunset to it.
Absolutely.
Rebecca Coffey, Senior Manager of Enterprise Records at the Tennessee Valley Authority. To hear this interview again or share it with colleagues, please visit federalnewsnetwork.com and search Insights. I'm Tom Temin.
Thank you for listening to Federal Insights, sponsored by Canon on Federal News Network.